Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Session 394 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP in the chat or in the comments if you're with us. We appreciate all of you, and I'm not going to lie to y'all. It's Thanksgiving Tuesday. It's a two-man show. I would never say Rocky and I mail anything in, but this is about as close as it's going to get. So
we were talking before we recorded that this will probably be one of our shorter episodes.
Yes. we almost intentionally didn't get a guest. It's just one of those weeks. Everyone's kind of all over the place, but we did want to give everyone something to listen to while they're traveling or,
and maybe they'll be happy we don't do a 90-minute show.
Exactly. it's always hard to top Tommy and Zach, who were great last week. So I hope everyone enjoyed the food takes and all that stuff. But we might finish with a little Thanksgiving talk since Rocky wasn't here. I almost did the food stuff intentionally, but I feel like Thanksgiving might be more your lane than like other food conversations we've had. So we'll get to that later. All right, we can get into the news. The big story is Joe Burrow's back. He's back and playing on Thursday officially. So Dynastud's question is, where do you rank Burrow among QBs this week? With T out, no all line. His is more of a redraft question. Would you start Burrow or Dak in a tough Casey matchup? Just start Dak at home, I think, for now, and just roll with it. But
yeah,
what are you doing with Burrow now, Rocky? Are you I don't know what else you can do, but are you like spending up now to go get him or –
Well, I mean, you're asking the wrong person that.
Yeah. You don't spend up. Yeah.
Now, I actually do have a team with Burrow that I think I traded for. I'd have to go back and look. I was rebuilding, though, so it kind of made sense. I will. That's the one time I might get some of those more expensive quarterbacks is when I'm deep rebuilding. And the honest answer to where do you rank Burrow among QBs this week is I have no clue on a Tuesday who's even playing who at this point.
I'd say top 12. Top 12 is probably what you're doing. And he's probably not what he normally is, but he's playing the Ravens in what's going to probably score a lot of points. So
yeah, I agree. I would say low end QB one probably.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting to be. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's at this point, I don't think there's anything. I think he's a hold, if anything. Like, I don't think I'm trying to go out and buy him, even if I was the kind of person who buys elite quarterbacks. The time to do that was the last 3 months when some contender was willing to sell him cheaper than they should because they want points. So now that he's back, there's no reason to buy him. And I don't know that it makes any sense to sell him either, even if you're rebuilding or if you're contending. Either way, like I said, the one share I have is on a rebuilder, and it's not like I'm trying to sell him now that he's scoring points for people. Right. I mean, if somebody wants to like pull me over with an offer, but
I was literally going to say that. Yeah. If you get what Burrow was worth before this injury, then I would probably consider it, but I don't think you're going to get that right now. So
but I don't think I'm almost surprised he's back this quick, but I mean,
a little surprised they're letting him play it.
The fact that they're willing to let him play makes me think that he's close to as 100% as he's going to be for the rest of the season. So I wouldn't be shocked if he comes in and plays well right away. Right. I mean, obviously there's probably some rustiness, but I would imagine, again, if you're starting him on a 3-8 team, I think the 3-8, is that right?
Yep.
3-8 team. Like that, he's actually feeling pretty good. So, if you're in terms of just this week and the rest of the season, I would be putting him right back in my lineups. But in terms of trading and stuff, I don't think it makes much of a difference that he's back.
One other note to this: do not drop Flacco. Do not drop Flacco, because if they lose this week, I'm looking at the standings right now. The Pittsburgh and Baltimore 6-5, and Cincinnati's 3-8. This is probably like, if we win out, we have a chance, so we have to try it. If they lose to Baltimore this week, I could see them going right back to Flacco and putting Joe on the shelf for the year. So do not drop Flacco yet.
I was just going to say it too, but yeah, the biggest fantasy takeaway might be that all those people who traded for Flacco.
Right, I know, now, like me. Yeah. I'm holding strong. I think they could easily lose to the Ravens and then say, we're actually out now. And let's be done. Put Joe back on the shelf for the year. Let's just hope he doesn't do that with Chase and Higgins, though. Higgins, they won't, because Higgins is a one-year guy. But let's hope they don't put a bunch of people on the shelf.
Yeah, that one's rough. I know you mentioned that later about the concussion. I have so many T-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm not quite Russ, but I'm close in terms of loving T. Higgins. So having him already ruled out, so it's not so great.
They ruled him out like Monday morning. I mean, he landed directly on his head, so I could see couple weeks.
Yep,
for sure. Happy news for you though. Chargers open the practice window for Hampton.
I have him on that Joe Burrow rebuilding team. By the way,
there we go. You're gonna start scoring.
I'm gonna start. Points. Boy, I know. I'm gonna win games at the end here.
We don't know. So for those who don't know, the practice window means they have 21 days to put him on the active roster. Or he's on IR for the rest of the year, so he doesn't have to play this week. But it's a positive sign. And I think this is kind of following the timeline that we've been trending towards, right? They had the week 12 bye, and we would be seeing at least some news about Hampton coming out of it. So I think this is positive news. I don't think there's much you would do off of this. I think, again, this goes back to kind of the same thing as Burrow, where if you were going to make a move, you had it already. So... anything to add? Yeah.
No, not really. I agree with that. And just exciting to see him back. I think if he doesn't play this week, my guess is he probably plays next week. I think they probably want him back.
Because they do have stuff to play for.
Push. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they got some big games coming up. I know they got the Eagles on their schedule. So,
And I think they play their whole division again.
Like, yeah. That's
what I figured. Kansas City still.
Another Chiefs game. I knew that. Yeah. So, they got a lot of important games, and I'd imagine they prefer Hampton in there over Wideout. So,
yep. They play Vegas this week, then Philly, then Kansas City, Dallas, Houston, and Denver at the end in week 18.
It's a little bit of a rough stretch defensively.
That fantasy playoffs, Kansas City, Dallas, Houston is brutal. Because I know it's Dallas, but Dallas's one looked better. We'll probably get to that, but Kansas City and Houston as your kind of quarterfinals and finals defenses is a rough thing.
Yeah. And even Houston pre-playoffs, the Eagles defense has been shored up. The run defense was a weakness for a lot of the early part of the year. But yeah, since they made some of the changes,
Freaking Jalen Phillips, man. One player has never made so much of a difference on a defense.
We won't talk about this past week, though.
Yeah, right. Joe Mixon's not playing this season. I think we already kind of knew that, but
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. Raiders fired Chip Kelly. I heard it was like something like his last three seasons as an OC. He's won like four games and averaged 16 points a game or something like that. He just doesn't have it in the NFL. And
no,
I'm sure he's going to be a great college OC somewhere. Maybe if, Ohio State loses their OC, who's in some coaching talks, Chip Kelly just walks right back to Columbus and is happy as a clam for the rest of his days. And I hope that happens, because, man, NFL has just not worked out for him.
Yeah, he had that one glorious first season with Michael Vick and Philly, and it's been all downhill since then.
Yep. So we'll have to see what happens there. Kamara sprained MCL. I basically say Devin Neal time. I think that's exciting. Do I expect a lot? Probably not, but he's going to be low end running back too, just based on volume alone, unless someone comes in and takes stuff from him. So,
yeah, I mean, they're just interested to see what he looks like and,
yeah,
you know, getting a, like a legit like time. Like, I know he's been, they have been mixing him in some since Kendre Miller got hurt, but to have him getting the bulk of the carries, I'll be interested because, like, you, we've talked about it, we both have so many shares.
Yeah,
mainly for this reason that we, you know, we felt like behind Kamara there wasn't much, and so it'll be interesting to see if he can do anything here with this chance.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that and what it means for Kamara going forward, because Kamara has basically said, like, I'm a Saint for life. We all kind of anticipated Kamara would leave sometime, so I don't know if Neil's going to have to carve out his own role with Kamara there, but he's going to have to play well to do that. So we'll see how he does. In the in-season news, we already discussed Higgins. Baker's got a sprained AC joint. It looked a lot worse, so I'm happy it's only just a little AC joint he's talking about. He's playing in week 13, but at least he's only missing a week if he's missing one. Pacheco's back. I don't think that matters. Hunt's getting like 30 carries a game right now, which is just crazy. And Mr. Winner himself, Shedeur Sanders, will start in week 13.
Oh, boy.
Holy cow, the Raiders can make anything look good.
Yeah, I still don't like Shedeur Sanders. Even
I do not either, and I don't know who they've – oh, they play San Francisco.
Excellent. Although you missed the one big other big piece of Tampa news this week.
Which is Bucky.
Bucky.
Is he back this week?
If everything's good by Friday, Bowles said he'd be back.
I didn't want to put that in unless we knew he was coming back. But, yes, he's being rumored to come back.
Basically, Bowles said he expects him to
come back. So, that's very exciting. I think they will definitely work him in slow. I don't think he's going to go right back to his original carry load right off the bat.
Probably not.
Especially given how Tucker's looked. And he'll probably just take White's role for a little bit and then take – roll back piece by piece, but yeah, no, that's great. And they play the Cardinals this week, so Bucky could get some good run wide right away. Let's see their schedule. So they play, Bucky's got a great playoff schedule: Arizona, New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina, Miami, Carolina. Ooh boy,
Raiders should be rounding in the shape.
Go buy Bucky.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that when we did buys and sells before playoffs. But yeah, no, go buy Bucky if you can. I don't know if anyone's going to give him to you now that they've been patient with him, but anyways. All right, we can get into the trades. We'll just go straight down the sheet tonight. TradeX leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception, 0.05 for return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they'll never break. They always hold. And we're going to jump down to TA11 and do the little trade first. Alec Pierce for a 27 second. This seems like fair value for the wide receiver 2 in Indianapolis to me.
Yeah, I put this on. A lot of times we don't put lesser player. Well, depending how you want to define
it. He's not lesser anymore. He's like the top 30 wide receiver now. Yeah.
And that's why I put it on here, though, because like we had an Emmanuel Wilson for a fourth trade. We don't put those kind of things on here.
Right.
But Alec Pierce is kind of definitely above that, but he's still not. That's why I put it on here. I wanted to see like what you would, if you thought, I don't want to pay a second for Alec. I'd rather pay a second for somebody else. Like, I know he has his games and I don't have his stats in front of me, but I know he's definitely been playing better than he has in his entire career. It's a fantasy asset. And he's been a little more consistent than he has been in the past. I just still don't feel confident in ever like really starting Alec Pierce. I have a single share. And so if I'm going to spend a second, even if it's a 27 second, I think I'd just rather spend it on something else, even if it's an older player that I'm getting points from or something like that. I don't know. That's why I wanted to put it on here. I wanted to see what you thought, too.
I'm looking right Pierce now. I'm looking right now.
He's probably worth a second, but would you pay it?
Yeah, I'm trying to look and see if the Colts have any free agents. And it looks like Pittman's on a tag for 26, I think, which would not a tag. They have an out after this year, and then they can pay him. Yeah, no, that's the tag. So, yeah, he's tagged. And then I'm trying to find Pierce. Pierce was a later pick, and I think that was the same draft. So they have to be – so Pierce is a free agent after this season. So maybe I would be hesitant to trade for Pierce without knowing where he's going, because I feel like he's a guy who's going to fit in a couple of offenses, and that's about it. And maybe you sign Pierce and let Pittman walk for less money or like, so to save money, because I think Pittman's going to be more expensive. But I would probably trade a second just to roll the dice, but I would be hesitant to do so, just because I wouldn't seek this. If someone offered this to me, I'd probably take it, but I wouldn't offer a second for Pierce.
I will say too, I did try and look it up while you were talking. He's maybe been a little better than previous years, but especially recently, the last like five games, he's got three 14 point plus games in traded X scoring, which is basically just basic PPR. But he's still only got 29 catches on the year in nine games.
Yeah.
So that kind of guy scares me, and it's not someone like I don't mind having him, and if I have to start him, you know, about bye weeks and things like that. But
right,
it's not someone I would want to pay a second for. Right. Like I said, even a 27 second, but he has been playing. Like I said, recently he's got a 13 target game, a 98 yard 10 target game within the last month or so. So maybe things are changing, but around those couple of games there's still a lot of Alec Pierceian type 2 for 48 type things. So
I could probably spin a narrative that says Pierce is worth more than this, but, and it's going to come up like, We have a question later where it's like, who would you trade for ahead of free agency next year, trades coming up? And like, one of them I had written down as a free agent is Pickens is going to make a ton of money. Yeah. Dallas can't afford to keep him. So like, this is just a crazy one. What if Alec Pierce is George Pickens light in Dallas next year? He's got that kind of athleticism, deep target guy. I don't know. There's ways you could sell me on Pierce being better. I just don't know how many situations that is. Like, if he goes to the Raiders, he's dead. Like, you don't want him there. So it's one of those things where we've probably spent too much time on Alec Pierce, but he's going to be a very interesting player in the non-point scoring season.
Yeah, he's just more of a guy that's got to prove it to me a little more than he has this season, even if he has perked up a little bit the past 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, like what if he's a Giant next to Neighbors or so? Like, there's places he could be where he's gonna have some value, but you'd have to see it before it happens. All right, now we'll go to the bigger stuff. TA for Jaden Daniels in a 26 third for Lamar Jackson and a 26 fourth. It's crazy that these two are still this close.
I was gonna let you go for, because this is, to me, this is so cut and dry that it's Lamar Jackson.
Agreed. Even though I know he's been bad,
year, but also no. Actually, I looked at this because I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. He had three Lamar type games, all like 25 point plus games in TA scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Got hurt in the Chiefs games and was only doing so.
He's not healthy. That's what I was going to say. He's not healthy right now.
Right. And then he came back and he had one good game. Game he came back, and then it's been a little rough since. And I think that's what it is. I think it's still lingering injury stuff probably.
And everyone who watches him play says his running is very minimal, and I watch like red zone, right? So I'm not watching every snap, but,
and as someone who has him on my redraft team, I can tell you he's not getting a lot of rushing points.
Yeah, no. And I think he's gutting it out, and like heroically, by the way, because they're already back in first again, but I think he's gutting it out. I think anyone who's scared of Lamar Jackson, you should be calling right this minute and trying getting him, because
and it's been really bad for the last month, but I still have him significantly higher to me than Jaden Daniels. And that's the other thing. Jaden Daniels has been banged up all year and did not look great when he was playing. So I'm still not convinced we're not seeing like CJ Stroud with more rushing upside, like in terms of just the great first year into a what's happening second year. And again, I said it in the non-point scoring season, like all non-point scoring season, like we are way overrating this guy based off one season. So
yeah,
QB2 was always ridiculous. And he was QB2 in DLF's ADP for like most of the non-point scoring season.
That's what the big rookie quarterback always gets, I feel yes. like, right? Like
yes.
when, you know, whoever the next big guy is going to be QB2 because he's 21 and gets to play 20 years and because everyone does that now. But yeah, no, I think this is easily Lamar Jackson. If you can get this trade, I'm doing it fast.
And even if you're a rebuilder, and that's why you yes. want to get Jaden Daniels, like Lamar's only 28.
Yeah.
I get the rushing quarterback concern, but yeah, you know, they might age out of the rushing faster, and that could be a problem.
He's a plenty good thrower.
Like, I'm just going to say, it's not like Lamar is one of the better yeah. throwing quarterbacks that also run a lot, too. So, yeah.
He's not Fields, who's like no. only reliant on his legs.
Exactly.
He can throw very well. All right, TA7, Derrick Henry, and Amir Abdullah for Kirk Cousins, Joe Flacco, and Travis Etienne. Was this before this past week? Do you know?
I believe it was. I think
so you got a week of Friday. Flacco for this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this was before Burrow was announced as coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess you get the rest of the season of Kirk Cousins. So,
I mean, sure. This just
feels that's like kind of what my reaction is. Like, it's like a contender trade. I feel like none of these players could have like much value next year. Like none yeah. of them, Henry included, Etienne included. Like if Etienne's been fine. He's had some good games, but he's also had some not very good games. And Tootin seems to be getting more and more work there. Mm-hmm. And I believe, is he a free agent next year?
Etienne, yes. Is. Yeah.
And he could be
He'll go somewhere, though. He's 26.
He will go somewhere, yeah. but who knows what that's going to look like. And right. if he's going to be the lead, like, obvious lead guy or what it's going to be. So if I have to pick a side, I probably I probably take the upside of Henry. I feel like Henry's the guy that is going to have the most upside for points in terms of like
yeah.
top five in his position in any week just because of touchdowns or whatever. I know he hasn't had a great year either.
I agree.
Derrick Henry year, but I think yeah. I'd just take Derrick Henry.
I
agree. But I get it if you need quarterbacks too.
This is totally, yeah, that's literally what I was about to say. This is totally a need for need trade.
Yeah.
Someone needed some quarterbacks to get through and said, I can get rid of Derrick Henry. So, yeah, no, that's, I would probably take the Henry side too if forced to pick a side. But,
how are you feeling about Travis Etienne? You were a big Travis.
He looked great this week. Tootin getting hurt certainly helped. But I don't think he stays a Jaguar, which is probably a good thing. I could easily see Etienne being like a Rashad White in the next iteration of himself, right? Where he's trying to think of a team that's got like a, I don't want to say the Eagles, that's too easy, but like, let's just say the Eagles, right? Where Barkley's just the running guy and Etienne's kind of the pass catcher, change of pace guy. I could easily see that being the next version of Etienne. I could also see him being somewhere on the Vikings that need a running back badly and getting yeah. all the carries. So it's hard, though, because we don't know all the rookie running backs coming out yet. And I think that will mess him up a little bit. But I think for what we were paying or what I was telling people to pay for Etienne in the non-point scoring season, I think it's been a good return. Which has been,
and he's actually been a little better. I always like to, when we're talking about these guys, look up their scoring in TA, and he's been a little better than I thought. Actually, he's been pretty consistent 15-ish point guy. He had 20 mm-hmm. this past week. He had a stretch, and this is I think what I was thinking of. He had a stretch there in like October where he was like 9, 9, 6.5.
Yeah, he had a slump. Yeah,
But since then he's been good again. Like the first 4 weeks and the last 4 weeks, it's all like super consistent. Like 15, and he's RB 15 points per game on the year.
Yeah.
So high end RB 2, which is,
and you traded 2/3 for him.
Exactly. He's
yeah.
As you could expect it for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great. So yeah, no, I'm happy with the return on ETN. Just don't send him anywhere crappy. That's all I can ask, I guess. I will say this. The Giants would make sense for him with Scadabo. I guess Tracy is still there, but the Giants would make sense with him. So that could be somewhere interesting. Or we were talking about free agents. If Algier leaves, the Falcons would make sense for ETN as well to help with Bijan. So there's a lot of places he could go, but the draft will decide a lot of things.
You're putting him in all these places with people, RBs people like, and like everyone's going to hate it who has ETN.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's going to hate ETN. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With my luck, Breece Hall and ETN are going to be in the same place.
Probably.
So that's going to be my karma.
It's going to be the Cardinals' new backfield next year.
Oh, don't say that. Trey Benson forever. He might come back this week. I didn't put it in the news, though, because no one's really sure. All right, Dynastud's questions. This is a long one, so bear with me. Any adjustments you make in the playoffs if you have two similarly projected lineup options with one with a higher ceiling, lower floor, but one with a higher floor and a lower ceiling? Who are you picking? Does that change regular season versus playoffs? And on the other side, are you at all playing the playoff schedule guessing game? If so, any superstars, top scorers you'd actually be open to swapping within a tier to get better matchups and championship odds?
I feel you look at that playoff matchup thing more than I do.
I don't get this cute, though. I don't trade for playoff schedules. Like, if
I don't either.
Because it's hard to... Because, one, when you're making these trades at someone in the same tier, like, I'm trying to think of, like, Cortland Sutton and... I don't know, Waddle, right? Mm-hmm. Who are kind of in the same area right now. People are going to go look at that schedule. It's going to be the first thing they do at this time of the year. So anyone who does that is going to, like, have the same issue with Sutton. So you're probably stuck with him. But so you'd almost have to trade up to get a better value. So... I don't get this cute on the guessing game. Where I do the other part of this where he's like, do you focus on range of outcomes? Every week I usually base my range of outcomes on like what happens on Thursday. So like if I'm in the hole playing after playing Allen and James Cook on the first Thursday, then I'll do something a little wackier and go for like a bigger lineup. But if I'm like projected, quote unquote, to win, then I usually try and play the floor. But in the playoffs, you kind of just got to shoot for the stars because it's 1 week and take the risk. So,
yeah, I think the only, when I do that, like if I do this at all, is it's just on the extremes. Like if I'm a sixth seed that's squeaked mm-hmm. into the playoffs, playing the juggernaut one seed, and even then, it's probably like just one or two players. I was trying to think of an example off the top of my head, and I couldn't do it. But yeah, like I might throw somebody, somebody who's not even that good who might go off or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I wish I could come up with a name. I'm struggling.
I think Burrow's a good one. We talked about him already, right? Like if the Dak versus Burrow question from before. The problem is Dak's got a high ceiling when he plays well. So, like Fields was a good example
yeah.
of this,
yeah,
right?
He was a huge range. Yeah,
he was the guy who could drop 40, but he could also drop four.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
I'm just looking through Nate. Like maybe if you like again, depending on what else you have too. I generally just try to start my best players. No matter
I do too. I don't get cute. And do the whole, play Tyrod versus the Dolphins over Dak. Like, I don't do anything like that. Like, you dance with the girl who brought you. That's kind of what I do.
But if it's close, like, I could see, like, a guy, I'm just trying to look through names, like a Christian Watson, I could see thrown in my lineup. If you're low-end guys are, like, in that area. Just because he is a guy who can go off for a deep touchdown or something like
that. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm starting Cortland Sutton over Justin Jefferson in a league this week. Because
JJ's—it's been rough.
We've never been so right about a quarterback in our entire
life. I know.
JJ McCarthy.
JJ's in the concussion protocol. I'm making air quotes for those of you who aren't watching.
Yeah, they said they couldn't find a hit where it happened, and he had symptoms on the plane ride. Who would have thought that Max Brosmer would be the savior of the Vikings? Yeah.
I tried to have faith in JJ because of Kevin O'Connell and what Sam Darnold was able to do last year. But it turns out Sam Darnold may actually just be like better than he used to be.
The Jets messed him up too much. Yeah, apparently.
It might have just been the Jets because he actually does look like I was shitting on Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
All non-point scoring season in Seattle. Thought he was going to turn back into a pumpkin. And he has, I mean, he did have that 4 interception game a week or two ago. But other than that, he's looked pretty good. So
I think the Rams just own him. Because the Rams were the ones that beat him up in the playoffs last year, too. I think the Rams just have his number. Yeah,
that was the Vikings' first opponent.
Yeah, I think he can't beat the Rams. But which happens sometimes, but obviously you would hope it's not in your division. So, I mean.
Yeah, like the Eagles can't beat Dak at home, no matter how good we are, apparently.
It's just That game was so messed up. I turned that game off at like 21-0, and I got a text from like my dad saying like they tied it up, and it was
you're lucky you did not watch. There were so many penalties, a ton of turns. Yeah. Like I feel like I was talking to a Cowboys fan that I'm friends with, and he was trying to, like, you know, troll me, and I'm just like, dude, we played like about as bad as you can possibly play for 3 quarters, and we still almost won that game. So, like, they had 14 penalties, multiple. They hardly ever turned the ball over. They had multiple fumbles. It was just bad.
I'm surprised they haven't really done anything with Petullo, but I don't know what you would do. I mean, I guess Sirianni could call plays, but. Is that going to be much better?
I don't know if it is, and I don't think he wants to call plays.
He
did call plays very early in his Eagles tenure,
right?
And then they quickly changed that, and he just sort of, you know, head coaches the team.
Yeah,
he's involved in the offensive game plan from what I can tell, but
yeah,
but yeah, so I don't think that would make a huge difference either. I think. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think some of it's Petullo. I think some of it is Saquon just doesn't look like Saquon anymore, which makes the whole.
I was going to say that. I didn't want it to sound blasphemous. Like, Bigsby looks better.
Yes. Right now. And their line is having some issue. And Lane Johnson's hurt right now.
Yeah.
But even before that, they weren't as good as they have been in recent years.
Yeah.
But also, when you see Tank, and that's another thing they need to use. I mean, I don't, not to turn this into an Eagles podcast, but they need to.
What else are we going to talk about?
They need to get Bigsby in there more. He had like, I didn't look in the stats, but it felt like 2 carries last week. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago when he had 9, he had 100 yards or something. And, and in the limited time he's gotten since then, he looks better than Saquon. Like, he has more of a burst than Saquon. I mean, some of that may just be fresh legs because Saquon's in there all game and he's coming in, well rested and not having had 15 carries already, but just every time he comes in, it seems like he's running for 7 yards at least.
Yeah.
And making some good plays. He just looks like he has more burst than Saquon does, even with this bad line.
That was the word I was going to use, was burst. Cause there's one play in particular. I can remember it was not the Dallas game, but the game before that, they did like a sweep to the right and he just outran everybody around the corner. And like, Saquon's not doing that anymore.
And I don't want it to be 50-50, but they need to start working.
It needs to be 70-30. Like, yeah.
He needs to at least be getting like 6 to 10 touches a game.
Mm-hmm. And the Eagles are so weird.
This season has been
AJ Brown had like the game of his life on Sunday, and I guarantee he's gonna have like 3 targets this week. So,
yeah, and he did, and then the offense just died. So I don't know what to make of that.
It's just crazy. speaking of the Eagles opponent, Colston Loveland has been scoring well lately, but we know tight ends in general are pretty volatile in terms of production. Obviously he's up there in terms of dynasty tight ends due to age, draft cap, and now production, but who are you starting him over? The moment you trust Loveland, he's going to burn you. And I'll do the Bears hat since we just did the Eagles hat for a second. The Bears are doing this youth movement now. They are, although that doesn't include Roma Dunze for some reason, but they have put Burden in more over Sakias. They're putting in Loveland more in over Kmet. I think Loveland will be a top 12 tight end heading into 2026. I don't think it's happening right now. I think he's going to be one of those touchdown dependent guys. He's getting like 3 targets a game. He's doing a lot with them, but there's just so many mouths to feed in Chicago right now with Moore and Adunze and Burden and Zacchaeus and Kmet and Swift and Loveland and Manungai. And there's probably 2 more that I'm not thinking of. And it's just there. You can start him over whoever the heck you want if you have a good feeling about it. But the moment you really try to get some consistent starting out of Loveland, he's going to burn you. Is my read on it right now. Do you have any Loveland Bears?
You know, you would know that all that Bears stuff better than me. But yeah, I mean, I know he's had some good games recently, but I don't know if I have any Loveland.
And by the way, like, not really. He's had a couple of really good plays where it's like, look at this big flashy tight end. Right. Yeah. But it's not even like, even those good fantasy games are like 6 or 7 points. So.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, they're mostly touchdown based. He had, he had that one game, 6 for 118 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. But that was the 70 yard touchdown in overtime or whatever that was.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Right, yeah. And then, he's got a 4 for 49 and a touchdown last week and 4 for 55 a couple. I mean, that's basically in the range.
He's a tight end. Let's call him. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's not many guys you would consider starting that I would start him over if I did have any level. I didn't get much of either Loveland or Warren. I have a couple Warren shares. I don't know if I have a Loveland share. If I do, I haven't been starting, so I didn't even realize. Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at even like we play the game sometimes of dynasty value and is this guy above this guy. I was just looking over guys I would start him, and I can't really find many that have scored in his range that I like. Points per game, I guess I might start him over AJ Barner, but Barner's actually been decent too this year.
Yeah. I mean, you're not starting him over Bowers, McBride, Kittle.
Oh, no. Ferguson. Yeah, I was more looking at the more fringy guys like him.
Goddard.
Like, are you starting him over Theo Johnson?
That's a matchup thing, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And, with Dart back, because Dart's going to run the ball more. Jameis is gone.
Yeah.
Which sucks. That game was awesome, by the way. I know I'm like the 150th person to say that over the last 2 days, but that game was sweet.
Jameis catching a touchdown was amazing. Yeah. He didn't just catch it in the end zone. He caught it and juked a guy.
Yeah.
And scored. It was great.
Let's put Jameis on Minnesota or something like that, and let's have some real fun with
a bunch of good receivers. We need him to start somewhere again.
They said I was listening to the Fantasy Cares trivia before this, and they were saying, like, Jameis should have to start a game, like, for every team, just like he has to rotate around. Yeah. And, like, he's just the mercenary, which would be awesome. In terms of dynasty value, Loveland's probably top 8. He's top 5 on the list I'm looking at right now, but I wouldn't put him over Laporta. I wouldn't put him over Kincaid, Ferguson, no. Then you get down to like Gadsden and we start to have a conversation. So.
Yeah, he's probably in the same range as Gadsden for me.
Yeah, I think he's top 10, not top 5. So.
And Gadsden's pulled off too, by the way. So
yeah, they all have. I mean, Kincaid was hot for a while. He died off. This is the tight end experience, right? I mean.
Tight ends don't matter, right, Frank?
They don't. They don't. Sorry to say it.
Trey McBride.
Yes, Trey McBride, and I will begrudgingly say Bowers now that he's kind of come back to life. But yeah. man, Gino's really trying his best to make that not happen.
Yeah.
So, all right. Is DK Metcalf actually good at football? Because I'm not sure he is anymore. So I normally don't put in his Dynastuds one-off questions, but this actually was a good thought experiment because they let Pickens walk, basically. They traded Pickens for like a fourth-round pick and then signed DK Metcalf to that deal. And like looking back on it, that seems like such a mistake right now. And
Pickens signs for that deal.
Pickens is going to sign for that deal somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they just kept Pickens and signed him to that deal, I think they'd be a lot better off.
The Patriots are going to make Pickens a very rich man. although I keep putting every receiver on the Patriots. I put A.J. Brown and George Pickens on the Patriots already. So that would be quite a duo, by the way. But no, George Pickens is going to make a bunch of money, probably more than DK. On the Metcalf specific question, I don't think all of this is Metcalf's fault. I think Rodgers is probably a little washed. He's not a little washed. He's washed. And the problem is, I don't know like how their QB situation gets fixed because Mason Rudolph is there right now. They keep talking about how they want Rodgers back, but if they miss the division and Tomlin gets fired, I don't know why you would bring Rodgers back. So,
yeah,
because Tomlin's got the hot seat thing going on. And if they miss the division, if they lose the division to the Ravens, I could easily see them firing Tomlin and starting over. And in that case, you have a 27-year-old wide receiver, 28, however old DK Metcalf is. And he's 27 right now. He's got no QB or a rookie QB and not a lot of hope. So you just got to ride this out right now. There's nothing you can do with him. You're going to sell him at less than value right now because people are scared.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with most of what you said. I still think he's a talented player. I think a lot of it is quarterback related. Even going back to last year with Geno. So I mean, like you said, it's hard to say what their quarterback situation is. Basically, they have to get lucky because they're always too good to draft really highly.
So or sign Jameis. Let's put Jameis and DK together.
Somehow I don't think the Steelers of all organizations.
No, Jeff. Well, new organization, starting. New coach. Yeah, you never know. Yeah.
Well, just the whole infrastructure.
They don't do Jameis.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I mean, it feels like they have to get super lucky with a guy they draft in the teens or something because they're too good every year. They're like either playoff team or borderline playoff team almost every season. I mean, maybe if they fire Tomlin. And it does just become maybe in 2 years they have a good rookie quarterback or at least a highly touted rookie quarterback. And even then, that guy could stink. You know, he could be J.J. McCarthy or something. But to bring it full circle. Yeah. I guess it is a concern if you are a Metcalf manager just because he's not young anymore. How old is he? 27?
27, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it could be 2 years. We're saying it's mostly quarterback related, but it could be 2 to 3 years before hopefully he gets a good quarterback, depending on what the hell the Steelers do the next couple of years. So, but I don't think I do think he's still actually good at football.
Yeah. He turns 28 in 2 weeks. So he's 27 and a half, let's call him. He's in his age 27 season.
Yeah.
The problem is he's stuck. He's legit. You can't trade that deal away.
I don't think so. They don't usually commit big money like that to wide receivers either.
I know.
So I don't think they're getting rid of him. Like
they got to figure out quarterback very quickly.
Yeah.
And I would love Cousins to be there. Cousins would save a lot of issues, but we did this last year, right? Where we bet on a bunch of people saving DK Metcalf and none of that's happened. So,
and I'm also starting to think Cousins might just be cooked at this point too. So
I half agree with that. I think he's cooked on the Falcons. Put him back on Minnesota, I think he's fine. I think he's happy as a clam back in his offensive system. And holy cow, does Minnesota need someone to help JJ along? Because this is the problem with what Minnesota did, and I'm gonna vent for a second. People have compared JJ McCarthy to Bryce Young, and kind of how it took Bryce Young a longer time to be a good, a better quarterback. I'm not gonna say he's good, but he's absolutely.
Say, has he even gotten?
He's absolutely. I would say he's miles better than what he was when he got benched for Dalton last year. I think he's a fine quarterback right now.
I'll give you that.
The problem with what the Vikings did was they put no real veteran presence behind him. They didn't have a Dalton. They had Wentz, but Wentz is like broken in six places. They needed another person to give him more time or to like, they had to play McCarthy because they broke Wentz. Like they had the chance at the deadline.
He's not a guy you want mentoring your quarterback, in my opinion.
Anyway. Well, that, as but like you had
the Wentz experience. So.
They had the chance to trade for someone at the deadline when Wentz went down because they stuck with their decision on McCarthy, and that's where they messed up, in my opinion. They had to have one more guy. There was people out there that they could have gotten. Heck, bring Nick Mullins.
It's been a while to me. They had Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones there last year.
Right.
And now those two are leading both playoff teams.
Literally. They were MVP. They were top five in MVP voting, both of them. Yes. Like in at some point this year. They're probably not right now, but
yeah.
Darnold's, I said this in a group text, Darnold's four pick game probably eliminated any chance he gets the MVP.
Yeah.
But like that's what Minnesota has mishandled this JJ McCarthy experience a little bit. And I know we have to rely on O'Connell and all this offseason and blah, blah, blah. JJ McCarthy was very, very reliant on a big Michigan team around him. And like Rocky and I could have played quarterback for that Michigan team and probably won a national title. If you watch the games where McCarthy had to win a game in college, he was not very good. The only reason they even won a title is because of Roman Wilson. And I'll go to my grave with that, is Roman Wilson was the reason McCarthy went first round, because McCarthy overthrew Roman Wilson by 5 yards, and somehow Roman Wilson floated in the air like 50 feet in the air and caught a ball and saved McCarthy. And it's one of those quarterbacks where like the stats are just unbelievable. Like I saw a stat where it said if he spikes the ball 20 times, he would have a better QBR than he did this week.
Yeah. Did you post that?
Yeah, I posted all of these Cool Kids Club. I had a McCarthy vent this week. I don't even think I have McCarthy anywhere. I have him in like one of like the leagues I play in with you, like Tecmo or something like that. But and that was like I got him for like damn near free, and even that was probably too high. So
I have been one TA league, and I think we were talking about, I forget it was when you were on or one of the ones you weren't on, but I went on a mission to discover how I ended up with JJ.
Yes, yeah, I did. It was when you were doing the junkies because you went on.
A dispersal. Yeah, I got him through a dispersal, and he's still on my team, and now I probably can't trade him if I want to.
Yeah, I mean, it's at like some of these stats are like he's 344th out of 346 in QBs like this year. It's just like, I get he's a rookie, but holy cow, even Bryce wasn't this bad when Bryce was at his lowest. So he's going to make Jefferson like quit for the season. Jefferson's getting so frustrated just watching him on the sidelines.
Do you think there's any chance they give up on him after 1 year?
I think it depends on,
or I think they probably bring in someone who's maybe at least more legit.
They're going to do the Panthers thing. They're going to go get someone like Dalton who's really going to push him, which is like when Bryce was a rookie, they didn't have, I don't think they had Dalton when like when they first got him under Reich. I don't think they had Dalton. I think they signed Dalton to push him. I think they will do something like that. And dear God, let it be Jameis Winston.
I was just
Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Dear God, let that be the thing. Like, and by the way, for all the jokes I was making about this, let's put Kyler on the Vikings and let's be done with this. Let's be done with the whole JJ McCarthy thing. Let's just put Kyler on it. And Kyler's going to fit that system way better anyway.
I'd be happy with that.
I'd be psyched with that. He'd be a top 7 QB probably.
Yeah.
Conservatively. All right. We'll finish on this. Any real life offseason trades or free agency moves you're speculating on trying to buy beforehand as a rebuilder, someone in a bad situation who could go elsewhere, for instance. So I wrote a list out on the show sheet. Rocky's looking at it, but I can read out names if we want to do that. But the main free agents at tight end is Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, and David Njoku. Wide receivers is a little weaker. Jacoby Myers, Juwan Jennings, Rashid Shaheed, and Wandale. For context, Mike Evans is also a free agent, but I am assuming he's never leaving. And the running backs are Breece Hall and Ken Walker. And then the other free agents are George Pickens. Obviously, we've already talked about him. Javonte, the Cowboys are losing a lot. Etienne, Rico, Rashad White, and Algier. So,
yeah, they might not be able to keep Javonte. I mean, he's having a hell of a year.
They'll find someone else. I'm sure they'll draft Jeremiah Love or something like that. Yeah,
he might make some decent money. Yeah,
maybe sell Javonte then ahead of that, because I don't know what situation Javonte is going to go to. That's much better than that.
I agree, actually, and I love Javonte, but the situation was perfect for him. Like, unless worried about Jaden Blue when he's been inactive all year. So
unless Javonte is just like, I know this is my best situation. I'll take a small pay cut to play here and just play forever in Dallas, which could easily happen. If you told me Javonte signs a discount, like $4 million a year? Let's say he signs a $12 million deal to stay in Dallas. He's probably great. So,
yeah.
So let's look at not the others, because the others are all kind of blah. But anyone there stand out to you as someone who you would go try and get? I mean, Breece and Walker are obviously the two prizes there, but
the other name Breece is one of the ones I don't really generally try and trade like this, like try and get
guys
to the free agents. I'll sometimes bring it up on the pod as like a bonus, like with like a T. Higgins who might be going elsewhere, but his value could increase, things like that. If I do that at all, it's actually more during the non-point scoring season I start thinking about that.
Right.
Maybe I should think about it now, but I think that's thinking way too far ahead. And
the
situation can always get worse. Like, you don't know where they're going, so if they go anywhere. So, but the one that stuck out to me, and it's been forever, and he never does what we hope he does, but Kyle Pitts, I still believe the talent is there.
Oh, that's so funny. I thought you were going to say Njoku, because that's the exact same thing you could say about him, too.
But Kyle Pitts was supposed to be such a stud, and I still think there's tons of talent there. He's still only like 24, 25 or something.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets in, I could just see if he gets in the right spot and finally taking off. Maybe, you know, probably not to like, you know, McBride levels or anything. But being much more consistent producer than what we've gotten out of him basically the entire time in Atlanta. Even that first year in Atlanta, he looked great, just didn't score touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 1,000-yard season, though, I believe, as a rookie.
Yeah, he did.
So
I just don't know where he goes. Like, that's
the problem. I don't know either. Yeah, I didn't think of a spot, but I just feel like there's got to be at least a couple of places that would be better than Atlanta.
Commanders, maybe. I mean, I'm just staring at the teams. Commanders.
I mean, you know, the corpse of Zach Ertz has done well there with Daniels. So if Daniels rounds back into form next season and still loves throwing to his tight end, who's much more athletic than Zach Ertz at this point in their careers, especially.
I found it. The dream is the Bengals to replace Higgins.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, to replace Higgins. Burrow,
Chase taking
because he will be in theory cheaper than Higgins, because he plays a cheaper position, and you just have Yoshivas and all those and whoever else was playing this week fill in kind of that last little piece, and you just have Pitts move around. But yeah, that's probably the dream.
This is one I was just trying to think of some teams off the top of my head. I'm not looking at like a list of teams, but what's Hunter Henry's contract situation in New England? Because I was just thinking, like,
we're just gonna keep putting people on the Patriots. I love
it. I know, but Drake Patriots Knight is gonna so have damn like
17
good.
People on
the and, team and next Hunter year. Henry's actually produced well for fantasy. He has. You know, at times. So, I was just thinking that one could be kind of interesting too. I don't know if Henry's there. Like,
I they know have an out. Cool. They have an out for $2.5 million after this season. Otherwise, they pay him $11 million.
So that's, they could definitely, if they wanted to, let him go then.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I don't know if he would actually go there, but I think that could be a fun.
I'm not sure Pitts does what the Patriots want, though. I mean, Pitts doesn't. The Patriots are like a run first team. As good as Drake May is, their tight end has to be able to block, and Pitts doesn't do that very well.
I mean, he's not a bad blocker.
No, he's not. Like but Andrews would fit more in the Patriots.
Team. Yeah, I can see that.
Again, I think Breece and Walker are the star pieces here. Chicago needs a running back, unless they're just going to trust Benungai, which I don't believe they're going to do. Washington's going to need a running back because. Holy cow, that Bill experience was fun, but it's fallen off a cliff.
I know.
We're trusting Chris Rodriguez right now.
The season, and he's just done jack squat all year. Yeah. One, two touchdown game or something, and then that was it.
I mean, the worst nightmare would be like Ken Walker goes to the Jets, which would suck. But I think one of those guys will probably be a Bear, and because the Bears aren't going to want to trust a rookie running back with what they got going on right now. And I'm just going down the list real quick. I mean, the Texans need some help. I don't think Marks is going to do it all by himself. And it looks like Mixon and Chubb are probably both going to be done because Chubb's basically non-existent now. The Jags are going to have Tootin and Allen, but I don't know if you want to roll into the next season with that. There's a lot of play, like,
yeah. Could KC sign a running back?
I had a better one just pop in my head. Henry retires and Walker is a Raven.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just he does the exact, not the exact same thing, but he does that kind of running style, or Hall's a Raven. That I would
prefer
be
Hall, but
oh, I could now see that's what I want.
Yeah,
put Walker on the Bears and Hall on the Ravens. That's my goal. That's my rooting interest. But the Vikings are going to need a running back too, by the way, because like the ghost of George Mason and the of Jordan Mason and the ghost of Aaron Jones are sitting there. So they can't do that for much longer.
The other big takeaway is the wide receiving class, the free agent class, is horrible.
Yeah, it's doo doo stinky. Yeah, Jacoby Meyer. Well, Pickens. Pickens,
that's true.
Pickens in the main. I had Pickens in the other because I didn't see him as like a buy low candidate. Because to me, there is no upside for Pickens. I think he can only go down.
Yeah.
I mean, let me ask you this: is Pickens as the wide receiver one on New England more value to you than he is right now?
It's close. I mean, maybe a little bit. Just
but not you're not trading for him with the thought of he's going to go to New England, right?
No. Yeah.
That's why I kind of had him in the others, because like Pickens, Javonte, Etienne, Rico, Rashad White, Algier. Algier is one we were talking about before the show. Algier is going to be the guy who goes to Buffalo and we're going to all like overreact on probably, but he's fine.
I mean, it's hard to value him much higher, like no matter where Pickens, where he goes, like he's the wide receiver too.
He's outscoring Lamb, I know, which is crazy.
Wide receiver 3 in points per game behind Puka. Wide receiver 2 overall in total points in Tradetics leagues. He's just been way better than we even could have expected. And I guess not having CD there for a few games when he was injured probably helps. But he's
probably helps
in the games where CD was there too. Last he's 2 weeks, scoring him. He's got 29 points in both games. So, yeah, I don't think anywhere necessarily you can say for sure it's going to be an improvement on this year. Not on even this year, just on being in Dallas. I mean,
I'm looking at the top cap teams going into 2026. Las Vegas, Tennessee, New York Jets. I'm telling you guys, Pickens can only go down from here. And like, you know, Washington, sure, maybe. Seattle, please God, no, because we can't do that. Darnold can make Njigba look really good. He can't keep both of those guys afloat. New England's probably the dream, right? And
he's hitting free agency at only 25 too. Damn.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. It feels like he's been in the league for 10 years.
Yeah.
He was in that 22 class that everyone hated. That I'll say it, that 22 class aged gracefully. There were no quarterbacks, despite me wanting to make Kenny Pickett a thing. But Breece Hall, Olave, Garrett Wilson, George Pickens. Is this all this class? I think so.
They're all jumbled in my head, so I'm depending on you for this. Like all the rookie classes within
we've somehow a hit year an hour, of each so other. We'll do this and then we'll be done. Hang on. Where's the 22? 22 draft class. Am I thinking of the right draft? Yeah, London.
The bad quarterback.
London, right? Garrett Wilson, Olave, Jameson Williams, Jahan Dotson at 16. That ages poorly. Burks. That was the Breece Hall year. So, yeah, Breece Hall, Walker. This draft aged better than I think Wandale. Mechie is now the new number one wide receiver for the Jets. George Pickens, Alec Pierce, McBride. James Cook. It's a really good class.
It's not a bad class at all.
I think we've talked enough. That's the end of our show sheet, so that's gonna be the end of our show. Thank you, Rocky, for doing the two-man show. Anything you want to plug before I do the closing stuff?
What the hell am I going to plug? No.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
You mentioned this earlier. Yeah, I am not a Thanksgiving. I'm not really a Thanksgiving person. I eat turkey, which is fine. And stuffing is okay, I guess. But yeah, I got nothing. I don't really like vegetables, and that's a lot of what Thanksgiving is, besides the turkey. I'll eat some corn.
Cranberry sauce or no?
No, I don't do cranberry. I'll have some rolls.
Yep.
On Thanksgiving, I'm much more about the pumpkin pie more than anything, honestly.
I get that.
I'm gonna tell the truth.
Yeah, I get that.
But I'm very basic in what I eat for Thanksgiving. I'll eat it, but it's like, you know, a lot of that stuff, it's like the one time a year I'll eat it.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah, we had about a 20-minute debate on turkey last week, so if people didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. Also, before I get into everything, on a serious note, everyone go back and listen to Zach Reed's story on Fantasy Cares and the impact it's had on some of the people they're helping out right now and the shopping sprees and stuff like that. We're getting into that season right now, so it was a very cool kind of monologue he did. I almost felt bad saying like anything after it, but I had to close the show. I tweeted the timestamp of it. I'll retweet it tomorrow. But everyone go check it out. He did a great job covering everything Fantasy Cares has going on. Speaking of which, SFPL Playoff Mania is going on. Everyone go sign up. 25 days, 25 jerseys starts guess it would be early next week, December 1st. You get to see Russ's beautiful face for 25 days. I don't know what else you could need to sell you on that. And then recap shows for SFB on Tuesdays, trivia Tuesday nights, Wednesday night hangout. And happy Thanksgiving. Hope everyone's safe. Have fun. Eat a lot of food. Yeah, we'll talk to you all next week. As Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.